Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello and welcome to the EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. My name is Theodoros Mavridis, and I'm a consultant neurologist at Tala University Hospital in Ireland with a special interest in headache and cerebrovascular science. This month's topic is about headache, and today's episode we will talk about the interesting results of HOPE trial. My guest today is Professor Masoud Asina, who is the professor of neurology at the University of Copenhagen and director of the Human Migraine Research Unit. He is a very, very well-known scientist, especially in the migraine research, and he also leads one of the biggest research units regarding headache in the whole Europe. So without further ado, I want to welcome Professor Masoud Asina.
Hello, Theodoros. Thank you very much for your kind invitation and introduction.
So we'll begin. Before we dig into the trial and the results of this big trial, I want you to explain the significance of PACAP pathway in the migraine pathophysiology. And what first led you to explore this as a therapeutic target? We know the CGRP. What about PACAP? Tell us more.
Well, I'd like to start with that the migraine is a quite, you know, the prevalent, you know, many people, about 1 billion people worldwide are affected by migraine, and it accounts for more years sleep disability than all other neurological disorders combined. So what we know about the migraine pathophysiology is that it's quite complex and remains incompletely understood. And we also know that the multiple signaling pathways have been implicated. And among these pathways, pituitary adenylate cyclase activating peptide, which is PACAP, signaling emerged as an important contributor and therapeutic target. So let me start just a brief information about the PACAP, which is a member of the secretin superfamily of peptides. And it includes the related peptide, vasoactive intestinal polypeptide. And in human body, PACAP exists in two isoforms, known as PACAP 38 and PACAP 27. And both of them regulate a wide array of the physiological processes, including neurotransmission, vasodilation, intestinal motility, and also neuroprotection. And now we have growing evidence suggesting that the PACAP signaling is contributing to the mechanisms that underline migraine attack. What we know from the human experimental studies, that intravenous infusion of both PACAP isoforms, PACAP 38 and PACAP 27, can induce migraine attacks in people with migraine, but not in healthy individuals. So this discovery that the PACAP signaling is involved in migraine pathogenesis, in fact, that raised the possibility of PACAP antagonism as a therapeutic strategy.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this understanding of this pathway. Before jumping again into the HOPE trial results, I want to ask you, was there any discouragement when you tried to investigate more PACAP? We've seen the preclinical studies and the clinical studies of CGRP, for example, but was it difficult? Was it like a straight line, or was it ups and downs in your understanding of PACAP from where we began to this trial now?
I think that, Theodoros, in my case, we were pretty lucky because since the discovery in 2009, when we showed that it induces migraine attacks, we were pretty sure that the PACAP is some way involved. But the question is, you know, whether the data is reproducible, as always in science, right? And we showed in the multiple projects, the multiple studies, that the PACAP, in fact, is a migraine inducer, and its approximately induction rate varies between the 50 and 60%. Which is quite a powerful migraine inducer. And also we conducted multiple studies in which we investigated other than the PACAP direct mechanism of induction, but also whether the drugs that we usually use for the treatment of migraine, acute drugs, can also in fact block the PACAP-induced migraine. And we showed in fact that the sumatriptan, early treatment with the sumatriptan immediately after the infusion of PACAP 38, can in fact prevent PACAP-induced migraine attacks. again, suggesting that this peptide is very important in the genesis of a migraine attack, and the drugs which can target either PACAP or its receptor, you know, has potential in migraine field.
Okay, thank you. Now let's go more into the trial, the interesting HOPE trial. Could you give our listeners a brief overview of the phase 2 trial of LUAG09222 and its key findings, which is the main drug that was used for this trial?
Well, Theodore, before I jump to the trial, I'd like also to mention one very important study. Because the PACAP has its own receptors, which are different from the CGRP receptors, the first target was monoclonal antibody against the one specific PACAP-related receptor called PAC1. And the monoclonal antibody against this receptor was developed, but unfortunately, this trial failed to show efficacy of this medication. It was safe and well-tolerated, but not effective in for migraine prevention. So from this point, you know, some of the companies moved to the targeting the ligand, the PACAP itself. So that this is a way that we, you know, now we have this HOPE trial, and it comes from one of the companies who developed the drug, as you mentioned, LUAG09222, and we assess the efficacy and safety of the humanized monoclonal antibody against PACAP, against the ligand, you know, as a candidate migraine prevention drug. And that was, of course, conducted in participants with migraine. And another important background is also that not all persons with migraine, they have an adequate response to the existing medications to prevent migraine. We know that from the clinical practice, including with those people who tried monoclonal antibodies against CGRP or its receptors. Therefore, new prevention, you know, new preventive medications are needed. So how the trial was conducted? Well, we included, this is a proof of concept trial. We included 237 adults with migraine, and they were enrolled to receive only one time, intravenous infusion of either the investigation product with the two doses, 100 milligram and 750 milligram, or placebo. And as all trials, you know, we need a primary endpoint, and in this case, the primary endpoint was the mean change from baseline in the number of migraine days per month during the weeks 1 through 4. So it's only 4 weeks trial. So pay attention, 4 weeks trial. And 700 milligram was the primary endpoint, you know, compared to placebo. And since it is a proof of concept, the number of participants that's so high, you know, we have 46 participants who received 100 milligram. We have 97 participants who received 750 milligram. And we have 94 people who received placebo. And the patients that we included, they should fulfill the criteria for migraine, episodic and chronic. That was quite, I would say, courageous because we include the whole spectrum of migraine. And also we included people who with documented failure to 2 to 4 preventive migraine medications within the previous 10 years, so-called difficult to treat patients. An onset of migraine of disease in all these subjects included here, at 50 years of age or younger. So, you know, the early onset of migraine. And the trial design was, of course, this was a phase 2. It was a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled. And it was located in the multiple sites, about 25 sites in Europe and North America. So in this study, what we showed that the main result was the change of number of monthly migraine days over four-week period. Okay, what we see that 750 milligram reduced, you know, decreased of 6.2 migraine days per month from the mean of, 16.7 days at baseline. That was an active drug, you know, the monoclonal antibody against PACAP. And in the placebo group, we saw the decrease 4.2 days per month from the mean 16.9, you know. So, and that was a significant difference. And in all studies, you know, that was, the first line of results, proof of concept, it works. Now, the other question was, the safety and tolerability? Well, most adverse events that we observed in this study were mild, and with the 750 milligram group, they had a higher incidence of COVID-19. I would consider that as a coincidence because of the people that they're having COVID and the different geographical, you know, sites, we have to take it into consideration. Nasopharyngitis fatigue was also reported more than placebo, but the numbers were very, very small. So, I mean, what we have now is that we have a study, but of course, the limitations and also some remaining questions. First of all, Theodorus, this is a small size. You know, we're talking about the sample size was small and duration of trial was short. It was only 4 weeks. You know, from the monoclonal antibodies against CGRP, we have a 3 month trials, you know, specifically in the phase three studies. And only a single infusion was given here. And we need to determine the right dose for the, in the future. And we also need to determine whether the subcutaneous formulation, because this was an IV formulation, is as efficacious as an IV, you know, in the case. And also we need to study in the, you know, in the more widely distributed population. I'm talking about the participants, most of participants here, I think all of the participants here were white, you know, and mostly European. We also need to spread this and to study that in the Southeast Asian population in the future. But of course, ultimate answer for, you know, whether this principle, targeting PACAP pathway is efficacious, we need a final phase three study.
Of course, very, very interesting results. And if I may play the devil's advocate, because you put your own limitations on your study, I'm going to share the other view. I'm going to say that it was a courageous trial. Usually, phase two trials are trials of safety and mild efficacy. They don't really come back positive. They usually come back neutral. And in the subgroup analysis, we see a trend and we go forward to a phase three trial. This is very interesting. It's one of the few trials as phase two trial that is a positive trial. And this is very, very important for the audience to know. I'm very excited of what the future is going to bring because we were in the, let's say, CGRP era. We know that CGRP does not explain migraine. It's not migraine, it's CGRP disease. We know that. I know it's not also PACAP, but still it plays a role in the migraine pathophysiology. And there is a difference between the two molecules. We see, as you told us before, patients who are not responding to either of the four we have right now, monoclonal antibodies against CGRP or its receptor. And we need more drugs in our arsenal to help those patients. Also, it's very courageous to say that you included patients, not only episodic ones or let's say more or less naive, but patients who had failures. Those patients are really difficult to treat. And usually we do combination therapies on those patients who are not responding properly. So you told us most of what I was going to ask. You told us again about the side effects, about the fatigue and nasopharyngitis, which again, I'm going to ask plain and simple. Did you have any drawouts? Did any patient disagree to continue the trial up to the end of the trial?
No, I mean, in this case, you know, the discontinuation rate, you know, because those who are, you know, were randomized, they completed the trial. But again, when we're talking about these side effects, you know, adverse events that we see, if you look at the actual numbers, Theodorus, they're quite low. Let's take the nasopharyngitis. We're talking about 7% in 750 milligram against 4% in placebo. It's not really, you know, there's something right I would consider the problem. And again, you know, we're talking about the fatigue, 5% against 1%. And in case with the COVID, it was a 7% against 3%. So, I mean, generally, I would say that usually these kind of molecules, targeting those kind of molecules, and always also with the CGRP trials, are not really associated with, severe adverse events or we see also a remarkable low number of people who discontinue due to adverse events with the monoclonal antibodies against the CGRP. So the same is also here. But again, the number of people here are very limited. This is a small size trial. We will see more broad picture of this, you know, in the phase three when we include more people, and we will see whether there is any differences between, let's say, anti-CGRP versus anti-PACAP in this context. But if you ask me, I don't predict that. I don't think that we will see that. When you mention about, you know, we were quite courageous, you know, because we moved to these difficult to treat people, etc., for the proof of concept study, it was a difficult to treat people also with migraine. The reason for that, Theodoros, is also we conducted a very important trial before that. We call that proof of mechanism trial. When we tried the same compound, the anti, you know, the monoclonal antibody against the PACAP, we tried in healthy volunteers when we infused PACAP 38 and to test it whether this compound can block the physiological responses, you know, such as head pain also associated in healthy volunteers, but also most importantly, vasodilation, you know, which is a quite prolonged after the infusion of PACAP, only 20 minutes infusion of PACAP. And in fact, we were amazed because it completely blocked this response. So this increased our confidence, you know, in terms of the phase two trial to move forward. So the first trial that I mentioned you, proof of mechanism called challenge trial, we published that in Journal Headache and Pain. And then we move to this phase two trial. And hopefully, cross the fingers, we will see the positive data also in phase three trial.
Perfect. So looking ahead, what do you see are the main challenges moving from a phase two to phase three trials? I know that we are not on a phase three trial, but what would be your thoughts, your inside thoughts on how to build a phase three trial now that you have the results in your hands from the HOPE trial?
There is an intermediate trial that it will be 2B trial, you know, phase 2B, and proceed. You know, this trial is actually an ongoing trial. And in this trial, the different doses will be assessed, you know, because we need to determine the right dose, but also the most importantly, the formulation and the duration of the trial. So this trial, intermediate trial, is very important to determine the dose that will be used in the phase three trial. And hopefully this trial will also confirm the efficacy, safety, and tolerability. So that is our next step, I mean, from the phase three. I mean, if it's, you know, showing that it is efficacious, safe, and well tolerated, then the next step will be, of course, implementing that in the clinical practice. And you might ask me, in all this landscape of the different medication, what will be the strategy when you have in an arsenal so many different options now, right? I would consider anti-PACAP medication as good as equal. I mean, of course, it's confirmed with anti-CGRP pathway medications. And it includes both. I mean, we're talking about prevention now. We're talking about monoclonal antibodies and also small molecules, GPANs for prevention, and also anti-PACAP. So they will be equal. How are you going to start? That will be your decision, physician decision, and the patient preference, you know, formulations, you know, et cetera, many things. But eventually, it will be interesting dynamics, because we will see some people coming to you, Theodoros, let's say happy after they started with the CGRP monoclonal antibodies or GPANs, and you will just continue. But then if somebody develops tachyphylaxis, you know, they stop working, you might consider to jump to another signaling pathway. You know, this is another way. Or if somebody comes to you and naive, never tried monoclonals, you will try, for instance, anti-PACAP pathway monoclonal antibody. If works, you continue. If fails, you can switch to anti-CGRP. You see? So this is will be a very interesting, let's say, scenarios that we're talking about. And finally, that you kind of mentioned that we sometimes combine the medications, you know, although you have to admit that we need to be careful in the combination of too many medications, because we need also good randomized trials showing that dual therapy is better than monotherapy. But in absence of that, in a clinical practice, many of our colleagues are practicing that. In this case, there is actually perspective or combining the different signaling pathways, monoclonal antibodies, to achieve, you know, more efficacy, you know, to amplify that. If you have a partial responder or non-responder or whatever, you know, you can combine that. So I think this option is also something that we will consider in the future in case that we confirm that anti-PACAP medication is efficacious.
Yeah, exciting times. We have seen that also with some small studies with anti-CGRP monoclonal antibodies and on a botulinum toxin A, for example, to target different pathways. But it's very, very interesting. And as you mentioned, it's not only the monoclonal antibodies. Maybe in the future we'll have also small molecules like GPANs are targeting CGRP. We can have small molecules for PACAP. And it's very, very interesting to find, even though we don't know the source of migraine itself, we find those different things from its pathophysiology and we can target all of them and say we can have the maximum effect in all of our patients. It is an individualized approach, but still it's something that we need to make sure that we have all the key players in our hands. Very interesting talk. And I would like to ask you one more last question before we close. Anything else to add in this era, now that hopefully we're moving from CGRP era to the PACAP era, which I'm would be really delighted to hear more about?
I think that what is fascinating about our field, Theodorus, headache field, and in the migraine in particular, is that you know, science really brought something new, you know, about the mechanisms underlying disease. You know, moving away from this stigmatizing disorder claimed by sometimes by colleagues, but also some people, not really a disease, just a headache, but now showing that there is actually specific receptors, specific molecules involved. And when you target them, you can in fact prevent migraine. So basically a testament of the complex and fascinating neurobiology of migraine. And science here brought the best of the best. And now we have this arsenal of different medications, and hopefully we'll expand because PACAP is not alone. Based on our human experimental studies, we have a different molecules, the candidates also for the new drugs in the future. So we will still keep working in our field, and I can only encourage young people not really decided yet about their main interest in neurology, go for the primary headache, go for the migraine. There are a lot of fascinating stuff there. So you will learn a lot and you will enjoy that.
Thank you. Thank you again for this interesting talk. And it was a pleasure, Professor Asina, to have you here in our EANcast Weekly Neurology. Thank you again.
Thank you, Theodorus.
This has been EANcast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EANcast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.